I love to ride my bike. That is no secret. In fact, I rode this morning from home to here. Had a little bit of time of prayer here in the sanctuary before service. I ride all over town. The more I ride, the more I realize we live in a city set on a hill. That's not just scriptural. That's realistic for Mount Vernon. You may not realize it in a car, but we live on many hills here in Mount Vernon. Those hills cannot be hid. They're everywhere. A few weeks ago, I had a board meeting at the Community Health Center over in the health department. And so I rode my bike to the office, and I was going to ride to the board meeting. It was a beautiful day. And I left the sanctuary, or my office, with my backpack on my back and my files and things I needed for the board meeting. Started riding, and I've ridden Coshocton Avenue enough to know that it's on an incline. You may not realize it with four wheels below you and a V6 under the hood, but when you're on two legs and two pedals, Coshocton goes kind of like this all the way until you get to right around Walmart, and then it goes like this. So I knew there's a hill, and I knew the whole thing is an incline, and I thought, you know, I don't want to go up a hill the whole time. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down New Gambier Road. New Gambier Road, my memory told me it was straight, flat, level ground. So I cycled up, and I knew I'd have to get to a hill, Edgewood, but I gave it all I had. I got up to the Edgewood, and I turned, and I went to turn left onto New Gambier Road, and there's a hill. Not a good way to start the ride. And I thought, well, I can do one hill. So I stood up on the pedals, and I pedaled as fast as I could, got to the top of the hill, and I'm going down, and everything is smooth. And right there in front of me, there's another hill. And so I stood up on the pedals again, and I'm going as fast as I can, giving everything I got. I got this backpack on my back, wishing I had left it at the office. And finally, I got near the top of the hill, but I just didn't have it. So I got off the bike, and I pushed the bike up the rest of the hill, got to the top of that, and I started going down, and it's now smooth sailing. I'm all the way up. What in the world? What is this? It's another hill. I've got too many hills behind me to go back. I've got too many hills ahead of me to go forward. I'm stuck between a hill and a steep place, and I don't know where to go or what to do. And about that time, God sent me Eastern Star Road as a savior. And I took Eastern Star Road, and I rode my bike home. Got in my car and drove to the board meeting. I appreciate level ground. Level ground, I thank God for level ground. That sweat-soaked Thursday reminded me of why we need level ground. There are times when you're going uphill and it's difficult. Other times you're going downhill and you're just flying. But there's something to be said for just faithful, consistent level ground. I found a parcel of level ground in the most unsuspecting, unusual place in Scripture. It is, oddly enough, it's found on Mount Calvary. The men and women there prove the ground is level on Calvary. The first character stands in full Roman military garb, armed with full Roman military gear, counting the hours down until he can take these men off the crosses and he can go home. He is a Roman centurion who rules at least 100 mighty men in the mighty Roman army. He points his finger to the east, and without saying one word, 100 highly trained, heavily armed Roman soldiers march eastward. The centurion is the boss, and on this day he is clocked in to supervise the crucifixion of three more criminals. He'll clock out at dusk, he'll go home, cook up a few brats over the weekend, and come back to do it again next week. To him, it's just a job. It's just another day, it's just another denarius, and Jesus is just another man with a Messiah complex, just another man trying to be God who ended up on a Roman cross. But if only he would have realized he was God trying to be a man, he wasn't man trying to be a God. And something happened on that day that had never happened before. A centurion heard a loud cry from the man on the middle cross as he breathed his last breath and said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And with that, Jesus died. And everything broke loose. The hills came apart. The earth quaked. The sun hit its face. Rocks split open. Graves opened up. And the centurion looked up. And that's when he realized he's not just another man trying to be God. He really is God trying to be a man. And he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Nobody dared reach the centurion, his rank enviable, his armor impenetrable. He worked for the mightiest military machine in the known world. His salary, his retirement were set. The centurion had it all together. He was in control, but even with more money than he could spend and more power than he could wield, his soul was still searching. But on that day, as Jesus hung on the cross, Jesus was able to pierce the heart of a hardened centurion. He may have thought he pierced Jesus' heart with a spear, but Jesus pierced his heart with mercy. And he may have been able to set his own hours in his own salary, but he could not save his own soul. He needed the blood of Jesus to save his soul. I know today in this sanctuary, we've got men and women in leadership. Some of you own your own businesses. You supervise your own crews. You set your own hours. You're your own boss. And it would seem like you have everything together and come to church needing nothing. But when it comes to eternity, God does not look at the books. He doesn't care how many trucks are in your fleet. He doesn't care if your name is emblazoned on the side of a building. He's not impressed by how many report to you and call you boss. But what pleases him is when centurions, businessmen and women, come into the sanctuary on a Sunday morning and lift their voice in their hands and say, I need you. I may have everything money can buy, but I can't save my own soul. Jesus, I need you. And the Almighty God is right there for a Roman centurion. Thank God there's level ground at the cross. The next character, he stands far away from the mob. He's not screaming like they are. He's just standing there speechless. His once crisp robe is now soaked with sweat, but his gaze is fixed on the middle cross. There's no small army waiting for his command, but there are a couple little guys, one on each side, Alex and Rufus, who stand on either side of him, wondering why in the world is all of this happening. And what in the world is happening? This little-known Simon of Cyrene is nothing like the well-known centurion. Simon doesn't have 100 people who call him boss. He just has a couple little guys who call him dad. But there is room for Simon and his two sons right next to the centurion on Calvary. Maybe you don't run a business. Maybe you don't have your own business card. Maybe you have to work third shift in the factory because you don't have seniority yet, and so you have to do the jobs nobody wants to do and work the hours nobody wants to work. Nobody reports to you at work, but at home, you got a few little guys or girls who look up to you and call you mom or dad. I've got great news for you this morning. There is room at the cross for you. You are welcomed at the foot of the cross. You don't have to have a master's in business or own your own business to come to Calvary. If nobody but your family knows your name, then I preach to every Simon in this sanctuary, you are welcome to come and stand right next to the centurion and lift your hands and worship at the foot of the cross. The ground is level there. The centurion could force 100 men to do what he wanted to at any cost. But Simon has no authority over anybody. He just has authority over two little guys, Alex and Rufus. You may not have a crew you can bring to church, but you do have a couple little guys, a couple little gals. You do have a guy or girl you can bring to church. So I tell you, Simon, bring your family to church. If you can't get your boss to church, bring your family to church. If you can't get your coworkers to come to church, your colleagues to come to church, your classmates to come to church, bring your family to church. If nobody else will come, make sure you're bringing those who follow you, bring them to church. And when you come to the altar, take them by the hand and bring them up to the altar and say, we're here today because Jesus is here today. And we're here to worship him. And we are welcome. We have space. We have a place at the foot of the cross. I thank God you don't have to be in Forbes. You don't have to be the world's richest or the world's most well-known. You just have to have a heart that's hungry. And there is space and there is room at the foot of Calvary's cross for Simon. Moms and dads, keep bringing your kids to church. Grandmas and grandpas, keep bringing those baby grands to church. Bring them on Sundays. Let them hear the word of God. Let them meet the God of that word. When they go to our Sunday school classes, they hear from great teachers, Bible stories and principles that are going to keep them the rest of their life. I thank God for Simons and Simones who are willing to bring their kids to church and say, this is where we are because this is where he is. We are here because he is here. And I want to make sure I do everything to make sure my kids have an opportunity to be right with God. We've got to do everything we can to get our kids to Calvary. If we can get them there, he will do the rest for them while they are there. I'm so glad the ground is level on Calvary. Third group I want you to notice is different from the first two. Unlike the centurion, their voices are just as soft as their hands. They are the women at the foot of the cross. Jesus' own mother stands in the forefront of these faithful women of faith. Right behind her stands Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus cast seven devils. And then there's another Mary, the mother of James and John. But if you look in the background, those are the well-known Marys. You're going to see another group of ladies. They're the ladies, the Bible said, who went from city to city where Jesus ministered. And they ministered to him. We don't know their names, but God, who is forever faithful, called these daughters of Zion faithful. While others around them forgot about them and wrote them off, the Almighty God remembered them and he penned them in. Whenever Jesus needed anything from town to town, these are the ladies who cared for him and ministered to him. They came to church throughout the week, and without any applause or praise, they cleaned the church faithful. They wrote letters and cards to shut-ins and the sick to let them know, we missed you, we love you, faithful. They worshiped God every week with as much strength as they could find. Some of them were already widows without a husband or even a son, all by themselves. But these ladies, including widows, were welcome at the cross. What's so amazing is because in their day, women were abused. They were treated as property. And yet Jesus was willing to let them have front and center right there at the foot of the cross, to witness the greatest event up to that point. This is before the empty tomb. The greatest event up to that point that has ever been witnessed by human history. It wasn't priests and religious leaders and rabbis and Sadducees and Pharisees and all of those who were there to witness it right there front and center. It was some faithful ladies whose names we don't even know but are written in the Lamb's Book of Life who were there at the foot of the cross. I'm glad to tell you, all of our ladies, all of our widows, you're welcomed at the foot of the cross. You don't have to be well known, but he knows your name. And if nobody else in the world knows your name, he engraved your name on the palm of his hands. It's forever before his face. Women, the widows were welcomed at the foot of the cross. The ground is level there. Fourth character, I want you to see, is strong and young. He kneels next to Mary, fighting back tears that won't be fight back as his mind plays back all the memories from the last 3 years. The first day he met Jesus and Jesus said, follow me, and the young man did. He remembers the last net he washed before leaving all to follow this carpenter turned traveling preacher. His mind plays back that day. His mind plays back the day they walked into Jairus' very fine home to find Jairus' preteen daughter dead in her room. But he saw with his own eyes and heard with his own ears as Jesus stared down death and wan. Then his smile fades as he remembers the night he and his two buddies fell asleep as Jesus prayed in Gethsemane's garden. When he needed them the most, they were asleep. But John was there at the foot of the cross. He's the only disciple of the 12 we know were there because it was written that he was there. John was completely different from the centurion. On Sunday mornings, while the centurion was hung over from Saturday night, John picked up his scroll. He marched to church. John was different from Simon because John walked with Jesus for over 3 years and Simon only walked with him long enough to carry his cross up the hill. Those women, they stood outside during the feast because they were not welcomed by the religious leaders inside during the feast. But John was close enough to lay his head over on Jesus during the feast. John's friends didn't understand him. They didn't understand the call of God on his life. They made fun of him. They called him Holy John. But John was a saint in the church. But more than being a saint in the church, John was welcome at the cross. There are several saints of God in here this morning. Your earliest memories are from sleeping in the church nursery. Anybody remember those days? I remember sleeping in the church nursery in a church down in Newark, Ohio, Pentecostal. They're having church in there, and I am snoozing in the nursery. Some of you spent your years early on playing beneath church pews as mom and dad came to worship. Does anybody have any pinch marks still from where mom and dad pinched you while you were there worshiping and you were talking? You've never stepped foot in a bar, and by the grace of God, you never will. You've never lit up. You've never taken a drink. All you know your life is church, 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 church. Your testimony is not God delivered me. Your testimony is God kept me. Well, I've come to remind Holy John that there is room at the cross for you. We make a great emphasis on reaching the lost, and we absolutely should. But lest we think the only ones welcome at the cross are the ones who have been delivered from some great gross sin, I remind all of us that we come to Jesus as sinners, and he saves us by his grace. Whether we're Holy John or we're the centurion, either way, we come as sinners, but God saves us by his grace. And that's why John, Holy John, was welcomed at the foot of the cross. He doesn't just welcome the sinful centurion, he also welcomes the faithful saint. Faithful saints of God who have served God and walk with God and cut your teeth chewing on wooden pews, there is room at the cross for you. You can come and kneel right next beside the delivered drug addict and the set-free alcoholic. Your testimony is no less powerful. It is, in fact, I would suggest to you, it might even be more powerful that God kept you from scars he does not have to heal you from. If you've got that testimony, you ought to just throw your hands toward heaven and thank God so much that he kept you from scars he doesn't have to heal you from. I thank you, Jesus. You've been good to me, Lord. You've been good to me. Thank you, God, for your keeping hand. I'm no better than anybody, but I'm thankful today you've kept me from sin that I don't have to regret. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Jesus welcomes you. He welcomes you at the cross. This altar where we come and pray, it's not just for the gross sinners. It's also for the gross saints. It's not just for those who have terrible sin in their life that need it covered. It's also for saints who realize without him I would be nothing. It's for those who realize the words of that song I love so much. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary. Had it not been for the old rugged cross. Had it not been for the man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. It doesn't matter if you're the centurion. It doesn't matter if you're the saint. Both, all of us have the testimony. Had it not been for Jesus, I wouldn't have a chance. But thank God he was willing to come and taste that bitter cup. Though he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. I'm thankful today for Calvary. Are you thankful for the cross? Are you thankful that you're welcomed at the foot of the cross? Are you thankful there's still room for you at the foot of the cross? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I spent all week last week in Wisconsin with a group of students, about 300 to 350 of campers, all the way from 12 years old to 18 and some beyond. And I watched as some of those were so broken because life had so broken them. They came from so many broken homes, shattered homes, not just broken, but absolutely shattered. And yet when they came to the altar, they found a faithful God waiting at the altar to mend those wounds and heal their hearts. I found students who wanted a purpose in their life, and they came to the altar, and I could tell just by looking at them and their ages that they've been in church all their life, and yet they came and they realized there's room for me. It's not just for the broken, but it's also for those God has already put together. And they came and they worshiped right next to each other. It did my heart so much good to see such a thankfulness and gratitude in the lives of our young people, that God loved them enough. He wrote them in while some of the world wrote them off. He penned them in and put their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. What an awesome God we serve. What mercy. What grace. What an amazing God we serve. What a Savior. What a Savior. There's one last character I want you to see who couldn't even make it to the foot of the cross because he was fastened to his own cross. He was the thief hanging right next to Jesus. I preached this message over in the Czech Republic, and I got to the point where the interpreter was going through, and he was interpreting for me, and I said, he was a thief. And he said, blah, 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 blah. He was a cutthroat. Blah, 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 blah. He was a no-gooder. Blah, 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 blah. He was a rapscallion. Blah, 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 blah. Real scallywag. He just went, looked at me. Find another word, bub. He wasn't there to give thanks to the man in the middle. He was there because his crimes finally caught up with him. He was very familiar with the prison cell. His garments were stained with the blood of innocent men, his home furnished with their furniture. He was a thief, very possibly even a murderer. At dawn, he joined his voice with the others to mock Jesus. You could hear his words. They dripped with the bitterness of a condemned criminal about to die. But as the day dragged on, he listened more and spoke less. And his icy heart began to melt. And finally, when he heard Jesus cry, "Father, forgive them." For the first time in his life, he felt mercy and not judgment. And while hanging on a cross, only minutes away from death, facing eternity, a career criminal asked the holy God of glory, "Please don't forget me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom." You've got to be kidding. You are asking to be forgiven after all the people you have robbed and killed. You deserve hell, and you're asking for heaven. What nerve, Jesus would say. What faith. He figured if Jesus could forgive the ones who crucified him, maybe he could forgive one crucified with him. So he asked Jesus for one thing he desperately needed but did not deserve. He asked for mercy. And Jesus said, "Yes. This day you'll be with me in paradise." Let's stand together. Part of the cross is healing. The scripture says he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. What you're feeling right now is the grace of God. Let's call on him right now and ask him to graciously touch Brother Lonnie Strickland. Jesus, right now we pray for healing for Brother Strickland. We pray, God, work a miracle in his body. Whatever's causing these chest pains, you're able to heal him. You're able to work a miracle. You're able to minister to him. There is healing in the cross. There is healing in the atonement. God, touch him right now, I pray. I ask you, whatever's causing the pain, that you would heal. And I pray you would heal the pain itself. Do this miracle for him today, I pray. In the name of Jesus, bless my brother. Touch my brother. Work a miracle. And do this for your glory today, I pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Please remain standing. I want to speak on behalf of every one of your classmates and colleagues and friends and neighbors who aren't here because they don't think they belong here. For those who don't have it all together. For those who have a past they're not proud of but cannot erase. For those who spend every Saturday night on a bar stool and every Sunday morning wishing they had it. And they watch as you go off to church wishing they could go but thinking there's no way you would ever want them with you or he would ever want them here. I've come to tell you to tell them. There is room at the cross for them. And if you're here today and that is your testimony, that is your story, it's regretful, but you can't change it. But you can affect your future by making a way your way to the cross today and saying, "I may not be worthy, but I sure am thankful. Thank you, Jesus, for welcoming me at the cross." I want to open up, for the sake of this message, this altar right here before we take communion. This altar right here will be the foot of the cross. And I want to open up for everybody. You may be a centurion, you may be a Simon, you may be one of the women, one of the widows, you might be Holy John, you may be the thief, and you may be somebody else altogether, but I want to open this altar up for anybody, anybody who just wants to come and say, "I need you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Brother Coleman. Thank you, Brother Russell. Thank you, men. Thank you, men. Thank you, men, for leading the way. Thank you, men, for showing your families that this is what we do. We pray, we seek after God." I'm inviting everybody, if you're grateful, you need Calvary. You just want to come and say thank you for Calvary. Or you need to come today and say, "Jesus, I need your touch in my life. I need you to forgive me of my sins. My sins are many. And I can't do anything about them except give them to you and ask you to forgive me of them. And I know when I repent, you forgive. I turn my face to you, Jesus. Today, by the grace of God, I'm going to turn my back on sin and turn my face toward you." Let's spend some time right now at the foot of Calvary's cross and just thank God for that precious blood he shed for all of us, all of us, all of us. Nobody excluded. Nobody's too good. Nobody's too bad. Nobody's too much of a saint. Nobody too much of a sinner. Every one of us needs the cross. And I tell you today, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Together, let's give thanks to the Lord, Calvary. We thank you for the cross, Jesus. We thank you for the cross, Jesus. We thank you this morning for the cross. Hallelujah. We thank you for the cross. We thank you today for the cross. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Before you go back to your seats for communion, I want to take some time right now just to repent as a church family. Communion is something all of us can partake in, but all of us need to make sure there's a measure, great measure of gratitude in our heart for what the Lord did. So we don't treat it flippantly or cavalier, but we show a measure of gratitude for the cross Jesus died on. Thank God he rose again, but he had to die so we could live. So I want to take some time right now. If you're new to our church, this is just a time where we come to God and say, God, if there's anything in my life that shouldn't be there, if I'm standing at the foot of the cross, if there's anything that I am convicted about, anything that I wish I hadn't had in my life, I lay it down today, Lord, and I ask you to forgive me. Let's take a moment just to do that. Let's just search our hearts for a moment, Lord. Jesus, if there's anything in my life, you died so I wouldn't have to be shackled to sin. If there's anything in my heart and life that shouldn't be there, Lord, please forgive me. I want to stand before you forgiven, stand before you covered in your blood and not in my own sin. God, I pray today, all of us together, I pray like Isaiah prayed, woe is me, I am undone, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. God, forgive us today, I pray. Hear us from heaven as a church family. Forgive us, Lord. Any guests who are here today, I pray your mercy extend to them just as it has been to us. Lord, I ask you to reach us today with the mercy and the grace that you are so kind to give. We love you, Lord Jesus. Give us the power by the power of the Holy Spirit to live above the power of sin. Give us the power to live above temptation, to live above the power of sin in our lives, Lord, so we can live victorious in a way that glorifies you. I pray, Lord Jesus, today, search us. Search us, oh God, and help us to be pure and right in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. You're welcome to return to your seats if you would remain standing when you get back there. And I'd like all of our families just to come together. If your family is here, maybe the students are over here, the children are over here, but I'd like all of the families to join together as families. We're going to celebrate communion as a church family, but we're going to celebrate it also within our families as a church family. And if you're new at our, if you're new here, we invite you to join in with us. As I mentioned a moment ago, the only prerequisite to celebrating communion is repentance. Making sure we take this moment seriously, because Jesus shed his blood to save us. And this is one way we remember the sacrifice he made for us until he comes back. Now don't count yourself out. Show of hands, how many of us are worthy today of the blood of Jesus? Just show of hands real quick. Anybody worthy of the blood of Jesus? Anybody deserve him dying? No? Okay, then we're all in the same boat. None of us are worthy or deserving. He died for us not because we deserved it, but because we needed it. But in 1 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul had to write to people who were willfully sinning. They were turning their backs on God, but they came to church and they joined in communion like everything was fine, like all of their wrong was all right. And that's why Paul spoke against it. A service like this one really needs to shake us and make us feel a sense of unworthiness, but as well a sense of thankfulness. He was willing to give his life for us. I'm inviting our ushers to come. They're going to distribute communion to all of us. If you have small children and you're not sure if they want to partake in communion, but you're not sure if they should, going to leave that decision up to you as the parent of the home. The Bible teaches us in Deuteronomy 6 that you are dad or mom. If you're here without dad or here without your husband, you're the priest of your home spiritually. And so you need to make the decision for your son or daughter if you feel like they understand it or at least can appreciate what Jesus did. So go ahead, and brothers, if you would hand that out. We'll let you make that decision for them to know if your children would appreciate the blood Jesus shed for us. They certainly don't have to understand all about it, but at least just appreciate how precious and powerful the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ really is. toward the last part of last year, I felt very strongly that we needed to do this more than just once a year. In fact, somebody prompted me, and I'm grateful for it, that we needed to do this more than once a year, especially for those who couldn't make it to that one service in January, if weather was inclement or they're out of town, they missed communion the whole year. And so thank you for that prompting. But I feel like this is what the Lord would have us to do as we approach just past the midpoint of this year, just come together once more as a church family. Remember, He died for us, and He died for me, and He died for you, corporately and individually. We'll take the bread and the cup together. So if you just hold those in your hand, and when we're finished, the ushers will come back through and they will collect the cups so you won't have to throw those away. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord. Jesus gave two ends of the same timeline when He told the disciples to observe communion. He said, you do show the Lord's death until He come. At communion, we look back at what He did for us and we say, thank you. But then we look back that He's coming back for us. And we say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Has everybody been served communion? The booth, yes, of course. Everybody in these sections been served communion? Very good. And ushers, remember to serve yourselves as well. So Paul said in 1 Corinthians, for I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, for this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. This is to remember that His body was broken so we could be whole. Let's take the bread. And let's give thanks once more for the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we love and thank You today. We're so thankful You were broken so we could be whole. So thankful You were bruised so we could be whole. So thankful, Jesus, You were willing to be beaten so we could be healed. So thankful You were willing to endure shame and suffering so we could be made whole. God, I praise You today. I love You. I worship You and thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, bless Your holy name. Bless Your holy name. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for a church family to celebrate this together. Thank you, Lord. When he had given thanks, after the same manner, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Let's thank God for the blood, and let's take the cup. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for the shed blood that still covers our sin. Thank you today, Jesus, for shedding your blood. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life for us. Thank you, Jesus, for Calvary. We're so thankful. We're so grateful. Thank you, God, for dying for all of us. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the precious blood of Christ. I praise you and lift you up. Magnify and glorify your holy name, Lord. We give thanks to you today, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We give praise to you today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. The ushers are going to come back through. They're going to receive the cups. If you would please give those to them. Here you go, Brother Green. Thank you, sir. And while they do that, let's just sing that song one more time, a cappella. Just the church lifting your voice. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. One more time. Oh, had it not been for the place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. If you are new to our church and you have questions about what we believe or have questions about the scripture, please let me know. We have Bible studies available. We can teach home Bible studies for free in your home, our home, in Panera, Tim Hortons, whatever. But we want to help you to know the Word of God and help you to get to know the God who authored it. So if you have questions or are hungry for more, please talk to me and we'll be happy to help you. Thank you for being here. We'll see you in the prayer room tonight at 5:30 for service at 6. You're dismissed. In Jesus' name.